Harenamaiva kivalam kalau nastiva 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 gatiranyata. So today we are beginning a new chapter of the Bhagavad Gita here at Kundan Loka. We are beginning chapter 17. The chapter is entitled Divisions of Faith, and throughout tonight's discourse we will hear about faith in the Gita, in the Bhagavatam, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because this is an important subject matter. So let us begin with the first verse. Please repeat. Arjuna uvacha ye shastra vidhim utsrijya yajante shradayan vita tesham nishta tuka krishna satvam aho rajastama. Please repeat. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said, ye, those who, shastra vidhim, the regulations of scripture, utsrijya, giving up, yajante, worship, sraddhaya, full faith, anvita, possessed of, tesham, of them, nishta, the faith, to, but, ka, what, Krishna, O Krishna, sattvam, in goodness, aho, or else, raja, in passion, tama, in ignorance. Please repeat. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? So before we go to the purport, I'd like to explain a little bit. So this chapter picks up from where chapter 16 ended. If you recall, chapter 16, in three verses, Krishna gave the 26 qualities of a devotee. The rest of the chapter was dedicated to the demons. And in the previous chapter, Krishna also pointed out three gates which lead to hell. Because according to Krishna, if one remains a demon, that's where the demon goes. He goes to hell. So Krishna also said, the sane man gives up those three gates, lust, anger, greed. These are the very bad material qualities. These are material qualities. Yes, there is a transcendental lust, anger, and greed, which are transcendental, but we're talking about material lust, anger, and greed. So Krishna pointed out to Arjuna, if you want to escape the three gates leading to hell, then you have to live your life according to the scriptures. That's the key. The example can be given. How do you know someone is a good citizen? He doesn't break the law. If you follow the laws of the state and the country, then you're called a good citizen. If you violate the laws of the state, you're liable to be punished. Another example, driving an automobile. There are rules, there are laws. There's a big book called the California State Driving Code. I once bought it many, many years ago. It's like this. So every traffic law is in there. And if the policeman stops you and you say, I didn't know it was wrong, the policeman doesn't care. Because you're supposed to know. That driver's license means you're expected to know the rules of the road. So therefore, ignorance is no excuse. So in the same way, when we stand before Yamaraj, our pleading ignorance is not going to help us. Now that reminds me of something in the sixth canto. When Shukadeva Goswami explains to Maharaj Parikshit, it's either in sixth canto or at the end of the fifth canto. Shukadeva says, somebody who commits sinful activities out of ignorance, they get punished. If somebody commits sinful activities but knows what is right and wrong, gets punished more. Then Shukadeva said, but the person who commits sinful activities out of atheism, he gets punished the worst. So that, but everybody still gets punished. So still, ignorance is no excuse. You have to know what is the law. And therefore, the conclusion of chapter 16, Krishna said, one should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. And then, Kamlesh is going to like this point. In the very beginning, in the preface and introduction, when Prabhupada was finishing up his introduction, and it was on the Brahman test, Prabhupada said, so there's no need to read all the Vedic scriptures. What book should one read? Bhagavad Gita. You know Bhagavad Gita? Where are we? You'll be fine. Because Prabhupada said, there's no time to read all, because that's going to be the devil's advocate's going to say, well, you just said I got to know all the scriptures. Well, how can I do that? So, no. Just read Bhagavad Gita. That's sufficient. And you've heard me say, I've been preaching recently, anyone who wants to be a preacher, learn Bhagavad Gita. Preach from Bhagavad Gita. Because that's how Prabhupada preached. If you notice, if you study Prabhupada's lectures, mostly he's quoting Bhagavad Gita. If he's giving a Bhagavatam class, he's quoting Bhagavad Gita. So it's the basis. Bhagavad Gita is the basis. First learn that very thoroughly. Now your preaching will be very, very authorized and powerful. So Krishna's final statement in the last chapter was, you should know what is to be done and what is not to be done by the regulations of the scriptures. Therefore, Arjuna is asking this question. But what about those who don't? And they do worship according to their own imagination, which is very prevalent in Kali Yuga. Whether it be Hindus or Muslims or Christians, basically, in Kali Yuga, everybody's doing what they think is right. If it just so happens to coincide with their scripture, good. But if it doesn't, people don't really care. People don't really care. All right, let's look at Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada ki. All right. In the fourth chapter, 39th verse, it is said that a person faithful to a particular type of worship gradually becomes elevated to the stage of knowledge and attains the highest perfectional stage of peace and prosperity. In the 16th chapter, it is concluded that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scriptures is called an asura, or demon. And one who follows the scriptural injunctions faithfully is called a deva, or demigod. Now, if one with faith follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna's is to be cleared by Krishna. Are those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him, worshiping in goodness, passion, or ignorance? We see this has been going on in Kali Yuga. This has really been going on. Do such persons attain the perfectional stage of life? Is it possible for them to be situated in real knowledge and elevate themselves to the highest perfectional stage? Do those who do not follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures, but who have faith in something and worship gods and demigods and men? Notice Prabhupada said gods and demigods and men. Yes, that goes on now too. People worship men or women even. Attain success in their effort? Arjuna is putting these questions to Krishna. Let us go now to verse number 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So please repeat. Sri Bhagavanu Bhacha Trividha Bhavati Shraddha Dehi Nam Sa Swabhavaja Satvaki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Cheti Tang Srinu. So, this first line, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Here is one reason why Prabhupada is making this point, that you simply read Bhagavad Gita, that will suffice for your study of the Vedas. Because Bhagavad Gita is not man-made. Who is speaking? Bhagavan. And Prabhupada would make the point. That's why Vyasadeva does not write Sri Krishna Uvacha. Why? Because fools and rascals do not know or don't accept that Krishna is Bhagavan. And so they may wrongly conclude, oh, it's just somebody named Krishna, and he's speaking. And Prabhupada's point is, if Krishna is an ordinary person, then why would we bother studying Bhagavad Gita? There was a devotee I know. She works for a Jewish, what do they call that? The Jewish temple, synagogue. She works there. So one of the rabbis was speaking. She told me this herself. One of the rabbis was speaking, and she was saying, all these stories in the Bible, they're just stories. You don't have to believe these stories. They're just meant to tell a good moral. So I told her, if I was there, I would have said, well, then why should I read the Bible? There are so many other books I could read if I want to get a good moral. Right? But that's not how we take Bhagavad Gita, and that's not how Prabhupada taught us. Prabhupada did not teach us that the stories in the Bhagavatam, you don't have to believe them. No, Prabhupada told us that when it says Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days, that happened. Or if you read in the Bhagavatam that Kurma was so many millions of miles big, we take it. We don't take it as a story. That's why you've heard me emphasize in my lectures, these are histories, not stories. Histories. Yes, we take it at, and what's the name of Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada gave? As it is. And Prabhupada would also make the point, condemning, I think he was condemning Mahatma Gandhi, who said, oh, the Pandavas represent Pancha Indriya, the five senses, and Kurukshetra means the body. Prabhupada said, no. Kurukshetra was a place. You've been there. Yes, yes, you've been there. Five Pandavas means five Pandavas. We don't, that's the Mayavadis. They speculate. They speculate, and then they start with something Vedic, and then they go, boom, 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 everything is symbolic. And they make up, oh, yes? Yeah, that's the other, yes? Correct. That's why Prabhupada warns throughout his books, don't listen to the so-called scholars because they're not devotees. What was Arjuna's qualification? Why Krishna is telling Arjuna in chapter 4? Right. He was devotee and friend. Devotee is the most important. That's the most important thing. That's who you want to hear Bhagavad Gita from, somebody who's a devotee. That's what Prabhupada said. Yes, before I came, there were so many English translations of Bhagavad Gita, but it wasn't making devotees. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita came out, it made hundreds of devotees. And not Indians who are already familiar. It made Malechas and Yavanas, Americanos devotees, testifying to the potency of Bhagavad Gita as it is. I remember the first time I saw Bhagavad Gita, I was in a bookstore, and behind the counter, in other words, it was not really being sold, it was just behind the counter, and I said, how much is that book? And it was Prabhupada's 1972 Bhagavad Gita as it is. I guess he only had one copy and he had it behind the register. But I immediately saw it, took it. In my hometown, there was Bhagavad Gita as it is. It makes devotees. Even Kamlesh's Bhagavad Gita DVD has made devotees. We both have heard personal testimonies from people over the years. He has heard, I has heard, I have heard directly that the Bhagavad Gita DVD has made devotees. When I was in New Jersey, this one man, he said, are you Nirantara? He said, yes. There was a big room, all these people. He went down and he paid his obeisances. He said, every day when I eat dinner, I'm watching your Bhagavad Gita DVD. It is so nice. I think I told you about that. Yes. Some Indian man in New Jersey. So this Bhagavad Gita, as it is, so powerful. Okay. Shall we do the word for words? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Trividha, of three kinds, Bhavati, becomes, Sraddha, the faith, Dehinam, of the embodied. So we have seen that word before in chapter 2. Dehinam. Sa, that. Swabhavaja, according to his mode of material nature. Satvaki, in the mode of goodness. Rajasi, in the mode of passion. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Tamasi, in the mode of ignorance. Cha, and. Iti, thus. Tam, that. Shrinu, hear from me. And that we heard at the beginning of chapter 7. Touch Shrinu. Krishna told Arjuna, just try to understand. Just try to hear. Just try to learn. We learn Bhagavad Gita from Krishna through the agency of Srila Prabhupada. But when we read Bhagavad Gita, this is direct association with Krishna. Direct association. Now I'm reminded, as we're going through these word for word, there is a letter Prabhupada wrote to one of his disciples. And that letter, Prabhupada said, no need to learn Sanskrit outside. You just study my books and go through the word for word. You will learn enough Sanskrit. So that's why we go word for word. Because little by little by little, you'll pick up. Just yesterday, one very elderly Indian lady, I was at one function, and she said, oh, I met Prabhupada here back in 72. And she said, you ISKCON people, you know better than us. You know Sanskrit better than us. But we, Prabhupada didn't teach us Sanskrit. We just had daily class every day, and like he wrote that disciple, just go through each and every verse, you'll learn sufficient. You'll learn. Okay. Let us go to the translation, please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds: in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. So now, the way this verse is worded, several things are being implied. Okay? So, these modes of material nature, right, they are acquired. So that implies that you have been living lives before, reincarnation. One of the first lessons of Bhagavad Gita, reincarnation, transmigration of the soul. And because of that, lifetime after lifetime, we have been acquiring a particular nature. Because, why? Someone's going to say, how is that possible? It has nothing to do with the gross body, but it has everything to do with the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Because that stays with you life after life. Yes, this body that we have now vanishes at some point. But that subtle body you take with you lifetime after lifetime, and all the desires and experience, everything is a continuum. You're accumulating until, and that's why, so that's why Kapila Dev in third canto says, Bhakti Yoga dissolves the subtle body. Because if the subtle body is not dissolved, no liberation. That subtle body has to be dissolved. That's why Lord Chaitanya, what's his first instruction? What's Lord Chaitanya's first instruction? Cheto, Dharpana. He's saying the same thing. Cleanse the subtle body. Cleanse the heart. Cleanse the mind. Otherwise, whether it's good or bad, yes, and that was another item that was discussed previously, where it says that Krishna consciousness destroys both good and bad reactions. Now, this is something a lot of people don't like because they want to keep their good reactions. Okay, you can keep them, but as you just said, gotta come back. In order to enjoy your good reactions, gotta take another body. Yes. Yeah, you have to finish it up. You have to finish it up. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita it says that Krishna consciousness destroys both good and bad reactions. Everybody gets the fact that they have to get rid of their bad reactions. But they don't like hearing, what, I got to give up my... Yes, you have to give up your good reactions, because if you don't, got to come back again. Does that make... Everybody understand that point? Yes. No. You don't have a subtle body. You have a spiritual body, spiritual mind, senses, and intelligence. Not subtle. There's no duality. There's no duality. Just like in Krishna, there's no duality. So when you're in the spiritual world, there's no duality. Yes, you have mind, senses, intelligence, but it's all of the same spiritual essence of the soul. It's what the real soul is. Yes, but not in the same concept as we have now. Your mind, body, and soul will be one, as it is for Krishna. For instance, Krishna can say, I am my body. Now, if I say or you say, I am my body, what do we say? You're in ignorance. Because that was the first thing that Krishna told Arjuna. You're not the body. But in the spiritual world, you will be your body. You see the point? In the spiritual world, you will be, because that's who you really are. You understand that? Yes, Mahul. The gross body are your senses and what you see. The subtle body is the mind, not the brain. Mind, intelligence, ego, and contaminated consciousness. That's the subtle body which covers the soul. Soul is located in the region of the heart, covered by that. You understand? Yes, it is. Yes, that's why you have to dissolve it. Because it's still matter. But in the spiritual world, you understand, there's no duality. Yes, Krishna Kumar. Yes. Until you purify it. By, okay, wait. Kamlesh, How do you purify? Surrender to Krishna. Goes with the spirit soul to the next body. But if you become pure devotee, the soul goes to the kingdom of God and exists in its original form, and that form has mind, intelligence, senses, all spiritual. Have you taken a look at my new DVD yet? Are you eating? Okay. I looked at it today. I have to say, me and Kamlesh are a great team. It is fantastic. So anyone who does not have the latest Nirantara Kamlesh production, please let us know. Kamlesh will give it to you. Free of charge. This is another great. He doesn't charge. He gives his, it's called pure devotional service. Yes. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.